It is Sunday night. It's December 8th, 2024. Hard to believe we're in the last month of 2024, but here we are. We took last week off, so this is our first pod in the month of December. I'm Taryn Lee, co-host Austin Shepherd in the house, and other co-host Paul Zartman. The new, I guess, if you still want to count it, new 15 days later, KOP Prediction Champion.
It just says KOP Predictions Champion down there. I'm going to keep it running total like you did.
Yeah.
I just started at day one because, unlike you, I actually show up to work as a champ.
Well, when you hold it 470 days, then you can talk.
Oh, you talk like you're Roman Reigns or something.
Hey, after 365 days, you get a week's vacation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. We'll go with that.
Uh-huh.
We'll go with that. We'll go with that, but how are you boys doing tonight?
I'm here. That's all that matters.
Shitty. I hate fantasy football.
It's that time of year where.
That's why I don't get into that stuff. I don't know enough. I tried it once and I lost like 2 weeks in. There was no recovery for me, so I gave up. Never done it since.
It's the dumbest fucking sport ever.
Yeah, I got hurt by some bye weeks this week, and the guys who I had to play that normally don't play for me haven't produced at all, so I'm getting whooped. But whatever. Whatever. So, Paul, you got a question for Shep real quick as we get things going?
Yeah, here? I do, as we're doing tonight's podcast a little different. So, Shep, what are we drinking tonight?
It's first one of the night, I promise. that's because the other ones were consumed during the daylight.
Okay, that's fair.
That pans out.
No, actually, we had a little going away party for a local golfer of ours. Tanner knows him very well.
Is his initials JM?
Yeah, him and his wife are moving to New Mexico. So,
I want to make sure I wasn't missing anybody else that was moving. So okay.
Yeah. So we had a little going away party. Good to see them as they moved to New Mexico first of the week, actually. First of next week. And great people. Played a lot of golf with them. Tanner's played a lot of golf with them. And wish them the best. But in the meantime, we had a lot of libations, if you know what I mean. We started at noon today. And we took a little bit of a break. My kid yelled at me as we were watching football. My one kid sat on the couch and watched football, and he kept elbowing me and said, "Dad, quit snoring." So obviously I was falling asleep a little bit. I'm like, "All right, sorry, buddy." So we went and had a chelada and a Miller Lite and cooked dinner, and here we are.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.
Bitches.
What's going on, Steven? Good to see you.
Old SC in the house.
Sorry about your Rebels not getting in the playoff.
His Rebels?
Ole Miss. I'm pretty sure Steven's an Ole Miss fan.
Oh.
If I'm mistaken about that, let me know, Steven. I'm pretty sure you are.
Worried about Ole Miss, and then they shoved it right up Alabama's ass, and I loved it.
Yeah, they did.
I loved it.
They did.
And me, I could not imagine.
Hey, look at that. Look at that comment right there.
I like it. That's good. I could, after last night, I was hoping Penn State would pull out the win. They did not.
They played all right.
But if you looked at the bracket, I think Penn State got the best
draw. Yeah.
The best draw they could even imagine. We got 100%. SMU. We got SMU at home. SMU ain't going to play in the cold weather.
Right.
Then if we win that, we got Boise State at a neutral site.
Stop the running game, you got them. I mean, it comes down to that.
So here's my dream. If I can have a dream, I got a dream.
Oh, boy.
My voice was cracking a little bit there.
Yeah, it did.
And they're on the separate side of the brackets. I would love national championship to be Ohio State versus Penn State, and we come back and beat the living shit out of them. And you know what? First of all, we bury the SEC. Okay? We bury them. You're not even welcome into the national championship game. We have two Big Ten teams. Obviously, Penn State going over. If I had the pencil, boys. If I had the pencil.
Well, that's not scripted, so you know.
Yeah, well, we had that debate last night as the SEC game was going on. Mm-hmm. We had one guy, he happens to be in the Hall of Fame of Ohio State, swears that Tennessee was going to win, or Texas was going to win. That way it would allow Alabama to end all this other BS. But, you know.
I am watching World's End from last year.
I hadn't gotten there yet, Majin. I was letting Chip go on his rant.
It's all good.
I'm on a rant already, and we're not even talking about wrestling. I love it.
Yeah. So,
by the way, anybody like my little comment down here?
Hey,
mm-hmm.
We got Wrestle Kingdom, then Wrestle Dynasty, which the belt will be on the line for Wrestle Dynasty, which that's going to be so hard to predict. I was looking at the matchups earlier today. I'm like, yep. Son of a bitch.
That's going to be
fun. Yeah, go figure. I win, and two of the most unpredictable cards are back to back.
Oh, you won't have to worry about it. You won't have it by Wrestle Dynasty. I'm taking it off at World's End. So,
and either one of you, whoever's challenging me at Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty, you guys got to get up at 2:30 in the morning like I do. So,
no, Tokyo, I'm just going to bed then.
Actually, here's what you do: is you go make you a cup of coffee, take a Ritalin, and you watch it. You just power through it. Don't go to bed.
Who's got the Ritalin? Because I don't.
Tony Khan does.
Yeah.
Oh, good old TK.
Tanner, I think Stephanie's Get Over It was in reference to I Want My Belt Back.
Oh.
Well, your name.
I do want it back. Look, Paul doesn't even show it on camera when he wins it. So.
Uh-huh.
See? So, there it is. There it is.
Definitely a little heavier than the one I bought.
Yeah, it is a little heavier.
You probably paid a little bit more for shipping than I did.
I don't remember, but probably. Been a long time.
It was on Prime, free 2-day shipping.
Oh, there we go. But I had the fortune to go to AW Dynamite this week down in Fishers, Indiana, at the Fishers Event Center. Brand new venue. Just opened up, I think, about 3 weeks ago. This was either the second or third event they've held in total. At the event center. Very nice venue. Beats the hell out of that old dump they used to run at the fairgrounds.
Hey.
Farmers Coliseum.
She was a cute bartender. Don't call her a dump.
I'm sure you could find the cute bartender at this one. And I was looking at Shep. I was scoping out sitting there since I went by myself. So I'm scoping out the arena and looking around. I'm like, my God, Shep's going to love this place if he ever gets down here, because there's so many other bar areas. Ooh. Like in this venue. So... they got a whole, I don't want to call them suites. They call them, I think, lodge seats. They got a whole wraparound section of lodge seats too that look like suites. So, yeah. Cool venue.
I think that's where KOP needs to sit next time they're in Fishers.
Yeah. Cool venue. Good house the other night. I mean, it wasn't sold out to the rafters or anything. There were some sections tarped off, but the crowd that showed up was loud. I even watched it back the next day. I thought it was lit well. I thought the crowd sounded well. Shout out to the two or three rows of the guys on the hard cam side. They were really getting into the show to where in the main event, when it was Claudio against Brody, every time there was a two count, they all stood up. Two! Oh, it was fantastic. I think it might have been some guys at a bachelor party or something. I don't know. But they were having a great time. So, really fun. Really fun episode of Dynamite. Unfortunately, I did not stay around for a Collision or the special one part taping they did for ROH, because it was getting nasty outside with the weather. And thank goodness I did leave when I did, because it took me long enough to get home. So I can't imagine if I would have stayed an extra hour what the weather would have been like. But long story short, if Dynamite's coming anywhere near your hometown and you got a chance to go, I would go. It is a blast.
Go. And you never know who's going to show up. Like Cardona was at Rampage.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. They did a double taping there. Like, when I was leaving, they were bringing out the stuff for ROH. I'm like, this is weird. Well, then they taped the Learning Tree segment with Cardona. And then later on, when they taped Rampage, he came back out for the Rampage taping. So,
yeah.
He came out as the Complete, right?
Yep.
That's his gimmick in AEW, is the Complete.
Yep. So, but yeah, that was a surprise. But very cool. That's going to be neat. Him and Jericho and Hammerstein for ROH title. I hope Cardona wins. I don't think he will. But I hope he does.
Well, we've looked in the past month about the relationship with GCW and AEW, and we always kind of thought it was on shaky terms, with Ricky Starks being pulled from an event because of Effie's comments about TK. But then all of a sudden, you think they're on shaky terms, and all of a sudden, probably one of the top two stars in GCW shows up on AEW television, ROH, whatever. It's still AEW. So it'll be interesting to see how Cardona's booked. I think it'd be very interesting if he went over Jericho.
Sure.
To have Cardona a little bit more involved. I would like that. I know Cardona is very, very involved with GCW, and GCW is getting ready to run the Hammerstein here soon as well.
January 19th, which Lauderdale, when Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful reached out to Lauderdale about to comment on Cardona, he mentioned that, like, he thinks it's great that AEW's running Hammerstein, Cardona's over there. He said it might have just made our event on the 19th a little more interesting. So take that for what it's worth. So we might, maybe this whole Effie situation, they worked it out into a work, not maybe with Effie, but the two companies to where they can partner again a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, Nick Gage is gone from the company now. So I know that was, you know, him and Mox had a little bit of a falling out with Gage's comments out of the last, when Big Bill cost Mox the GCW title. So I think there's a lot of room for partnership between those two companies.
Yep.
And with GCW having that open contract to work indies, I'm sorry, AEW having that open contract to let their guys work indies. So hopefully they can mend that and make something out of it.
Which I hate to say, and I'm kind of changing subjects here, but it's on the indie scene thing. WWE starting to allow it, believe it or not. It's just not the guys who are seen every week on TV.
They've let some talent go be in Barnett's Bloodsport, which I've enjoyed, which is always ran under the GCW banner.
Right. And last night, I know a guy who rents wrestling rings, and he happened to be up in Wisconsin at a GLCW show. And they had probably the biggest SOB of a referee I've ever seen. Braun Strowman was the ref for the main event.
Interesting.
Yeah.
From Wisconsin. So
that ring better be sturdy.
Yeah. Yeah. Merle's guy is too good. Shout out Merle Ramsey.
Stephen Chambers, congratulations to Big Bill and Lexi Nair are getting married today. Yeah, I saw that on social media. Congratulations to them. It's pretty cool story how Big Bill's really turned his life around the last couple of years.
So, yeah. Change his name. Change his name to Cool Bill, Sober Bill. Congratulations, Bill. Anything but
Bill. Letting Big Bill get under your skin.
Big Bill.
The wrestling guy.
Oh, and Tanner, I tweeted, you'll get a pay-per-view when Winnipeg does. I tweeted to Tony Khan, saying, Tony, I think Indiana proved to you the other night on Dynamite Rampage that Indiana deserves a future AEW pay-per-view. I wasn't the only one. There was other popular accounts that are tweeting the same thing after the other night's Dynamite show. So,
yeah.
They can run that game bridge. They would just have to space it out from WWE events. So.
Did anybody catch this? And I think this is petty. And I think it's a little bitch bullshit. Wednesday afternoon, right before, I think, about an hour before Dynamite went live. Did you see what Triple H tweeted out?
I did not.
Mm-mm.
About an hour before that, he made the comment that Pat McAfee is coming back full time after college football. So is it just a coincidence that the competition is in Indianapolis where Pat McAfee is? Was that just a coincidence or was that some petty bullshit?
I think it was it was very strategic. We'll put it that way. Yeah.
You're being too nice, Tanner. That's some petty bullshit. I love Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee is a million bucks to me. And I can tell you stories about Pat. I got the fortune to play golf with him once. But anyways, I just thought that was some petty bullshit. That's all.
Yeah, I agree.
I froze there for a second. I missed what you were saying about
that. I was on a rant, Tanner. It's okay.
Yeah, it was just him saying he loved Pat, but it was petty bullshit.
Yeah.
Sum it up in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, he and Mike Cole are going to be on Raw Netflix. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, college football is getting over, so McAfee's free again, and he's going to do it.
Right.
Now, the only thing is, if we can put – I'll put this on my prediction sheet that's not
– Next week.
Well, no. Well, this is my prediction sheet that's non-wrestling. I predict Pat McAfee will be in the booth for Monday Night Football next year.
You think he'll replace?
That's his goal. That's his goal is to be in the booth of Monday Night Football.
Three-man crew? Because I don't see him replacing Aikman or Buck.
Buck sucks.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I know what they're paying him and everything. So
yeah, I think with his – I mean, how much – money he's made for ESPN and what he has done for College Game Day. I mean, he has put College Game Day back at the top of the charts. He's got Nick Saban cussing on national television right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think he's in the booth. Okay. And if I miss it, he's in the booth for Sunday Night Football.
Okay.
So, okay. Okay.
All right. We'll keep tabs on that, but we are having our predictions show next week. We're kind of doing a whole December differently. This, like, tonight is our AW 2024 year in review show. Next week's going to be our 2025 end of the year title prediction show, and then we'll do World's End predictions and then World's End recap. So, I mean, we'll still sprinkle in some Dynamite and Collision stuff, especially if everybody watching or listening has comments and questions, but our format's going to change a little bit just for this month, trying to tie everything in that we normally do. So with that said, let's get into our 2024 year in review for AEW, which 2024 has been an interesting year for AEW, like most years. It's had its ups and its downs. What do you guys think overall? Like, how's the year been for AEW? What have they done well? What haven't they done well?
You know, I think they had a lull. They had a bad spot in the middle of the year, in between some pay-per-views. They've had some bad Dynamites. Collision has been lackluster, to say the least. Maybe the worst.
I liked last night's. I liked that small venue they ran in. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Rampage. But yeah, I mean, just hasn't been good. But all of a sudden you think this, and then all of a sudden we just had two back-to-back Dynamites that were above average, really exciting, really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. You've had some really, really good pay-per-views this year. And I would say it's not as good as last year, but they're trending up right now.
Yeah. Yeah. First half of the year was, kind of rough for them. But the second half of the year, I mean, other than pay-per-views, their pay-per-views always seem to deliver, in my opinion. But the second half of the year, it seems like they finally figured out what they needed to do, and they're on that upward trend.
Yeah, I think one thing that's really going to help them is running these smaller venues in 2025 for non-pay-per-views. I really think you're going to have more lively crowds, and it's going to look better on TV. And that's going to go
absolutely
long ways. And, you know, if you start selling out those smaller venues, then maybe eventually you can go to the bigger venues again. But pack a small venue and don't do a bigger venue with barely anybody in it. Makes a big difference.
Their last pay-per-view, the Prudential Center in, is it Newark? New Jersey,
yep,
right? Newark,
yep.
Dude, they packed that place.
Yep.
That place was packed. And I think it holds somewhere around 11,000, 12,000 people.
Yep.
And it looked good. And the crowd was hot. So – For a pay-per-view, I like that.
Sure, me too.
And then, you know, hey, Dynamite at the Fishers Event Center. You know what did it hold? 5,000-6,000 people.
Yeah, I think it holds about 7,500, but they had it opened up for like 3-something. Yeah. So,
you know, run venues like that, and you start, you know, packing those places, and you can work your way up.
Mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
You know, TNA is kind of, if you looked at what TNA has done for the last 2 years, you know, they've started doing these really, really small venues, but all of a sudden now, you know, they're packing venues of 2,000 and 3,000 people. The place is loud as hell. it looks like they're coming out of the rafters, but yeah, they're, you know, they're in a 2000 seat venue. It looks good on television. So yeah, if AEW can do that, maybe just on a little bit bigger scale, it'd be okay.
Yep. I think they're finally put maybe some of their pride to the side a little bit and trying to run bigger venues. And this is, I think it's going to make a big difference. And we got some big shows. I mean, of course, we don't know all the, we know the pay-per-views for next year, but we don't know where they're all going to be yet. But we do know Grand Slam's going to be in Australia, which they had a pivot on their venue there. But the new venue they're going to, they've almost sold it out completely. And WWE found that out too. When they took Chamber over there, yes, they still had about 40,000 or so, but they couldn't fill up the 70,000 seat venue they were trying. And then we know All In's going to be in Arlington. So, and Forbidden Door is going to be overseas in London. So, a lot of exciting stuff happening. Paul, since you're the champ, which category do you want to start with tonight?
Oh, let's get it out of the way so you can make fun of me. Let's do Female Wrestler of the Year.
Wrestler of the Year. I thought this was pretty tough to pick.
I think this is a no-brainer.
Okay.
Go ahead, Shep.
It is an absolute no-brainer. I know we haven't seen her in a couple months. It's an absolute no-brainer. It's Toni freaking Storm. There's not a better gimmick by any female wrestler right now in any company than Toni Storm.
And it'll be interesting when she comes back, if she comes back with the same gimmick or if it's something different.
Yeah.
Well, gimmick-wise, I think she comes back in the same gimmick, but maybe a broken gimmick. You know, maybe a little lipstick coming down the side of the face, even more dramatic. And she can play the character. She's so damn good, guys. And she's a hell of a work in the ring, too. I mean, she backs it up.
Paul?
Well, like I said, let's get this over with. I went with Anna Jay because she realized that she was not doing very well in the ring and took the opportunity to go overseas and continue to train and get better and then come back to have a decent, I'm not going to say it's stellar, but you don't see too many women here or men even here lately that would go, you know what? I could get better. I'm going to go train for a little while.
Okay.
I like your reasoning. You have
a hell of a point.
It wasn't
just because it's Anna Jay and, you know, I've been a fan of Anna Jay since she debuted. I had a good
angle from my seat on the Anna Jay match the other night. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, I'd like to see those pictures. Yeah, see, he didn't take any. He knows better.
Yeah. He's a married man, Paul.
Freshly married. You and I, Chef, could get away with that. He's still in that gray zone where it's iffy.
Hell, I'm so out of the zone, I did it. I married twice.
But I do. I respect her putting in the extra work to get better and not just go out every week and say, oh, I'm wrestling a couple times a month. That's all I need.
Well, it'll be interesting to see her face Mercedes Moné at the Holiday Bash next week.
She's going to lose.
I don't see any way she wins, but good for her for getting that title opportunity. And I am going with my honorable mention was Toni Storm. But I'm going with, I see Stephen Chambers mentioned in the comments. I see Majin mentioned in the comments. I'm going with Mariah May. I thought she had a heck of a first year in AEW. She won the Owen Hart. And then she turns on Toni Storm that night, busts her open. Very bloody segment. She takes the title off Toni. Now, her title reign hasn't been the best. Mm-hmm. I will say. It has not been the best. But the character change, the storyline she was involved with, Toni, and that's why I'm going with Mariah for my female wrestler of the year.
Okay.
Yeah, but Majin's saying he's glad they added the specifics to the Anna stip. She can't challenge as long as Mariah is champ.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're getting Mariah May versus Mina this week, Mina Shirakawa at winter's coming. So a lot of big shows coming up for AEW the rest of the month.
You're defending at World's End for the title.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen. They're going to only do one, probably one out of the two women's titles at World's End like they have been. That pisses me off. I don't know why they can't. Yeah, I don't know why they can't make them both into matches. I just don't understand. The whole booking of the women's division is starting to struggle again. It's frustrating me.
Yeah, and out of everything that we were going across here, if it wasn't for having a female wrestler of the year, I don't have anything female related in any of my other categories.
I got an honorable mention in the category, but
yeah, and I did too. And I've been a fan of hers for a while, and you could put it in the rising star category, but Willow Nightingale's gotta. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got to pop soon, you know what I mean?
She was my honorable mention for Rising Star, but...
Yeah. I'll be shocked if she doesn't hold the big gold at sometime next year.
Mm-hmm.
As long as she stays healthy. So
yeah.
Ship, what category next?
Let's go... Let's go with Tag Team of the Year.
Tag Team of the Year. I wonder who Ship's going with.
I'm going to beat him to it because I'm going first. I'm pulling Chip Drake on this. The Outrunners, Tag Team of the Year.
Boys, they came out for that second dark match the other night. So Solo and Ari Daivari come out. And so I'm thinking in my head, okay, what tag team are they going to come out? I literally was kind of blanking. And then all of a sudden it hit me right before their music hits. Outrunners music hits. Huge pop. Huge pop, and everybody's loving them. And of course, they went over. And you know, I heard everybody talking around me. It's like, man, we saw these guys 2 or 3 years ago here, and been seeing them for years, squash matches and in local indies. And now look at them; they're finally getting the push they deserve. So cool. They're so fun.
Yep.
And I love the gimmick. I mean, it's the typical '80s professional wrestler, '80s hairband gimmick type stuff, and they just rock it. And their vignettes backstage, they're pretty witty guys too.
The Bucks of Youth, as somebody says, for the Young Bucks. Steffi said the Bucks of Youth, and Majin's saying Young Bucks.
I like Stephen Chambers' comment about Shep's female wrestler of the year.
Shep would say Nick Wayne's mom. Hey. I almost took a picture of her and sent it to Shep.
Dim red boots. Dim red boots on Wednesday night. When she got home, I'm thinking, Mama Wayne, where are you going to put them boots, baby? You know what I'm saying?
And she said, bend over, I'll show you.
Wow.
No. It was my turn Wednesday night, not hers.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Paul.
You started it.
Yeah. Steven started it, actually.
Yeah.
But no, the Outrunners, they're fun. They are. They're fun, and I think I'm ready for the Outrunners FTR feud that we're going to get in 2025.
And what's so great about the Outrunners is they're a comedy group, but yet they're fantastic, and they can actually work in the ring. So many times you get these comedy groups who can't perform once they get inside the ring, and then you've got the Outrunners who are just perfect.
Right. Pluggo's in the house from Between Two Beards. What's going on, buddy?
Hi, Pluggo.
Hey, Pluggo, look at this. Look at this.
Pluggo, come on and take it from him anytime you want. Steven Chambers says canceled. Not quite. We're not there yet.
I've tried. Hey, Steven, I've tried over the past year. I've gave it my damnedest.
That you have.
A couple of my jokes were a little bit borderline. I'm just saying.
That you have.
Couple?
So are you both going with the Outrunners then?
Yeah. I'm Outrunners.
All right. Well, I'm going with the Young Bucks.
My honorable mention.
They held the Outrunners were honest to God my honorable mention. I have them right here. I could share my screen. Well, really, I didn't feel like there was a lot of tag teams you could really even seriously put up there. I mean, I love FTR, Shep. I know you love FTR, but they haven't had that great of a year to put them up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bucks held the titles for a majority of the year, but they also had some banger of matches too. I mean,
I like the Bucks gimmick this year. I like this EVP gimmick. I thought they reinvented themselves and did a hell of a job with it.
Mm-hmm.
Pluggo's going with the Riz Man and Big Justice as his tag team of the year.
Jesus.
Boom. Anytime you want the smoke, Paul. He says, anytime you want the smoke.
Tell him to go back to Costco and shove glizzies down his throat.
And now, chicken, and bake. Chicken bake some double chuck chocolate cookie.
Chicken, whatever. I don't know. I'm a freaking Costco member, and I've never had a chicken bake or a
double chocolate cookie.
Lord.
Yeah, it's entertaining, Shep. Come on, man.
I mean, yeah, okay, it's entertaining. Yeah, sure.
Shep, I will put it this way. I mentioned these guys having their match against QT Marshall. Nobody knew who QT was, but all three of my kids knew the Costco guys.
Wow. There you go. There you go.
Social media, man. Social media. Yep.
They've only had their channel since the start of the year, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes you just got the right formula and it just takes off instantly.
You know what? I'm the old guy in this group, so
you are, you old bastard.
Yes, thank you.
He probably still has his MySpace account with his top eight friends.
I never had a MySpace account. I never had MySpace, and I still don't have Facebook to this
day. Yeah, instead of the Wrapped by Spotify, Shep's is Wrapped by LimeWire. It shows how many viruses his computer has, and
sure,
he doesn't get that reference. Yeah, he doesn't get that. He didn't make the family computer sick with downloading songs. Just so
you guys
songs.
Know, I had a Napster account, got shut down by Metallica. So if that makes you feel any better.
Never had Napster. I always went LimeWire or some of the other ones.
God, I had a banger of a collection on Napster. Some banger collection, and fucking Metallica ruined it all. Greedy bastards.
Yes, the Young Bucks are my tag team of the year. I thought they had tons of good matches this year. And even late in their tag team run, I mean, they had good ones with Ospreay and Fletcher and some other ones there late. So even Private Party, when they lost the titles, that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you're so old, your social security number is 5.
No. Oh, damn. Shots fired.
Plug, I'm not that old. But you know what my social security number is? And you guys don't laugh at this when I say this, okay? My social security number is 69. See, you guys laugh, you immature bastard.
No, it's coming. It still gets a pop every time.
It does. Oh, it's great. All right, Tanner, your category next.
Yes, my category next. Let's go with emerging star of the year, rising star. This could be male or female.
Ooh, I like this one. I'm interested to see what you guys hear. I have two wrote down. So,
all right.
Am I starting this one then?
Sure. Why not?
Kyle Fletcher.
Damn it.
I mean, they do. Look what the dude's doing right now in the C2. He just pinned Okada clean. I mean, he is.
Yeah, he did.
He's pinned Ospreay clean. I mean, the dude, like I tweeted from our account and posted on Blue Sky. The dude's not just a rising star anymore. He is a star in AEW. I think he solidified that in the last month. And the crowds hate him, and I loved it. Oh, it was so fun to boo him and root for Shelton Wednesday night. Chin Ospreay's better, pissing him off. Oh, that was a lot of fun.
But yet, they want Shelton to be a heel. I love that.
I know, but mm-hmm. Shelton's even looking at the crowd like, cheering for me. Everybody likes her syndicate. So.
Yeah. And one thing I don't get is when the hell the wrestling community became so soft. Jacob like Fatu is... Years. Okay, Jacob Fatu. We can all agree he's a heel, right?
Right, right.
Your heels respond in heel ways.
Correct.
He's under fire because somebody told him he sucked or something, and he responds with, "Your mom sucks dick."
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, people are all in an uproar over it.
In reality, she probably has.
And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, you know, if The Rock came out there and said that, nobody would bat an eye because it's The Rock. But this guy's being a heel, and you're getting butt hurt over it. I don't get it.
Steve Chambers says his male's Kyle Fletcher's, female's Anna Jay.
Well, you stole my Kyle Fletcher, so I'll go with my honorable mention and go Willow Nightingale.
Okay. All right. I'm pretty sure this was mine pick last year, but I thought he had a great year. And then here in the last 30 days, all of a sudden he's taking a back seat. But I think the guy that made the biggest leap all year long was Takeshita.
That was my honorable mention. Yep. Yeah. I do like the feud they were teasing last night, him and Hobbs. That could be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
That could be fun. But, yeah, Takeshita, as much as Don Callis is a douche, his guys are getting the push.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think they're trying to make Don Callis the Paul Heyman of AEW.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Even Cage and Archer now, they got a tag team name and everything.
What all of a sudden now Cage wears just
full beard now too.
Full beard and just black trunks, black kick pads. Like none of this person. Wolverine bullshit. Yeah. His hair, like he sucks.
Whole different look. Totally different
sucks.
Look. That was my least favorite part of the show live, was that Dynamite Diamond Battle Royale.
It didn't look good on TV.
Too many teams. It was very predictable.
So predictable.
It was just wasn't that great. Mark Davis was awesome, though. I thought he got that pretty well.
Yeah. So. I knew when the final four people went in, I said, this is going to end in dual super kicks.
And why not, you know, no offense to Evil Uno or some of these other guys in tag teams or even the Butcher, but why not, like, bring FTR in or even like Ospreay or just somebody else. I know it might not make story-wise, but some guys you can actually believe that are potentially going to win this match because I don't know. I had a lot of problems with it. Yeah. Team up Butcher, Mark Davis. I could get on board with that, Majin. That'd be fun. That'd be great. Big meaty tag team. That'd be fun. So,
but hey, shout out to Evil Uno for knowing how to imitate Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Since he sits beside him all the time for a gaming podcast. Yeah.
Stephen Chambers' honorable mention is Beast Mortos for male and Queen Aminata female. Those are good ones. Queen Aminata is going to have big. She's going to have a big 2025.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked if she's a TBS champ at one point.
Yep.
Maybe ROH gold first.
She started mainly in ROH, didn't she?
Right. Yep. All right. Back to you, Paul.
All right, because I'm interested to see what you guys have to say. Match of the year.
Oh, this was a tough one.
This was tough. I actually have two, and they're not my main pick. My honorable mention. It's this or that. I could go with either one. I'm their champion. I can do what I want.
All right, champ, you go.
Well, it's either Swerve versus Ospreay at Forbidden Door, or Swerve versus Danielson at All In.
I had both of those on my honorable mention.
I have Swerve in mind, but those two guys are not his opponent in mind.
Okay. Well, who do you got Swerve against who? Shep?
There you go. The unsanctioned cage match to end their feud, which I thought their feud was perfect. I know their feud started in 2023 with the Texas Death Match, which I thought was a damn good match.
Yeah.
I love the all out cage match. Unsanctioned was definitely my match of the year. And look, there's so many. There's no wrong answers to this question.
Oh, there's
not at all.
Yeah.
But for my my tickle my fancy, it was this match.
Yeah. I went with Ospreay Danielson at Dynasty.
Okay.
You could put so many Ospreay matches. So, like, honestly, one of my honorable mentions, and I damn near put it in there, and I feel like it's one a lot of people forget about, was Ospreay's first pay-per-view match in the company against Takeshita at Revolution.
Mm. Yeah.
But Ospreay and Danielson at Dynasty, that match had me on the edge of my seat literally the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I had Ospreay Takeshita as honorable mention, Ospreay versus Swerve honorable mention, Swerve Danielson honorable mention, and I had a tag team match in my honorable mention, Sting and Darby versus the Bucks of Revolution.
I almost had that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the one category amongst all these categories. Is like, there's so many you could choose from. AEW, that's where we're spoils the in-ring wrestling abilities of these males and females.
Mm-hmm.
And really, for females, I know I'm going to get heat for this, but my female match would probably be Mercedes and Statlander at Full Gear. If I did a female match of the year, like just solely female match of the year.
I can get behind that.
Nah.
It was good. It was probably Mercedes' best match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Her only good match in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Steven said Ospreay versus Fletcher Full Gear, Swerve versus Hangman All Out. Yeah, Fletcher and Ospreay. I mean, yep. That, like Maja said, you can put Ospreay versus blank, pretty much. You can't go wrong. I mean, Mercedes versus Valkyrie was Majin's before she went to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shep's up next.
All right, so we've done that.
We have male wrestler of the year still. We have feud of the year, pay per view of the year, trios of the year, and anything else you guys want to do.
I'll throw out trios.
Okay.
And mine of late, these guys have not been the best, but I thought for a whole year they've been solid, and I've wanted to see them exceed, and that's the House of Black.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. The moment I thought of faction or trios, I immediately went House of Black. Whether it's from what the guys have done, Julia, doesn't matter. By the way, today marks 3 years since Julia was hit in the face with the mist.
Wow. 3 years already. Yeah, she's got to come back to feud with Jamie Hayter, and I think she's going to go over Jamie Hayter.
I told you she was going coming back.
That video package was awesome. Awesome Wednesday night. I'll switch it up. I think House of Black 2, but I'll switch up. I think you can throw the Bang Bang Gang in there. Even though the problem with them is they haven't all been healthy at the same time.
Right.
When Juice gets hurt back, now he's hurt again. Jay White was out for a while. The Guns we haven't seen for a while. I don't know what's going on with them.
Patriarchy
could be. The Acclaimed have cooled off for me. I'm not doing that. Yeah. I guess you could throw a Conglomeration in there, or I don't know. This is the division that's really lacking, I think, in AEW's and trios.
And to me, the Conglomeration isn't a trios group. It's just a bunch of guys who are having the same goal in mind.
Well, I just said Big AJ, the Rizzler, and Big Justice. Boom!
Why? Why do people want to talk about these people? Why?
They're over, man. They're over.
Oh, we're in the 7 Second Society.
Death Riders. All right.
I almost put Death Riders, but I feel that group came together in its form that I like now too late in the year.
I'd rather you bring back Gilbert than the fucking chicken bake dude.
Oh, man. All right. Next up, I will go with... Let's go with pay-per-view of the year. Another tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Leader off, Tanner.
Yeah.
I went with Revolution as my pay-per-view of the year.
Good one.
I thought it was a good card, and just the whole way they wrote Sting off in the sunset with him and Darby beating the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting match. Darby does a ridiculous spot with the glass. There was crazy table spots. Sting's son's coming out, different versions of Sting. That was one of the matches that sticks in my mind the most when I talked about 2024, and it capped off what I thought was a great pay-per-view. So we had a three-way match with Joe and Hangman and Swerve for the title that night. We had Ospreay versus Takeshita. A lot of other good stuff. So, yeah, I'm going with Revolution. And I had honorable mention Dynasty and All In. Were my two honorable mentions.
I know there's reports. Is the one, the youngest Sting son, he reportedly wanted to start training and started training after that. He got the bug. Is he still doing that?
That's a good question. Maybe I'll have to send that into Fightful for their weekly Q&As, because I know he was training with Darby and Copeland and FTR for a little while, and I don't know if he's still doing that. So that's a great question. Try to find out for us.
Go for it, Paul.
I went with All In. I really enjoyed it this year. And my honorable mention, believe it or not, was Full Gear.
Yeah, Full Gear was good. Yep.
I went with Double or Nothing in Vegas.
I thought it was good that this year, too.
That just had a bunch of great, great matches. I'm trying to find it here. That ended with the Elite versus Team AEW,
mm-hmm. Which Anarchy.
I thought that was the Anarchy match in the arena was great. But then you had Swerve Strickland defeated Christian Cage. That was another good one. Mercedes Moné defeated Willow and mm-hmm. and I think that cost me that pay-per-view, if I remember
it
correctly.
Did. I think because it did.
I picked Willow, didn't I?
Yep.
Yeah.
MGF returned that night as a face.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did. Yep. He did. Yep. But yeah, that was my pay-per-view of the year.
I was looking at the pay-per-views, and it's funny, as the year goes on, you kind of forget about some of them. And the one that stuck out to me this year that just wasn't very good, like it has been in the past, was Forbidden Door.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it had the banger between Ospreay and Swerve, but other than that, I just thought it was kind of lackluster.
It was flat, yeah,
that was wasn't that the one me, you, and JPJ predicted perfectly?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. It was that easy.
Yeah.
I mean, we won't talk about Plugo and Paul, but you know,
I went on some left field things.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, Tanner and me and JPJ, you know, got a perfect card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next pay per view, when we all had Tanner and I tied, and some reason he kept the belt.
Yeah, you know.
No, him and JPJ tied. You had the.
I think I tied too.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry about it, Paul.
Paul, let WWE 2K24 pick the winners for him.
23.
He hasn't done that yet. I don't think.
No, I haven't.
Not yet. All right. So
I won't do it as champion either. I'm not that brave.
Paul, up next.
Feud of the year. And I'll go first. The Bucks versus everyone, as the Elite, as the CEOs, them using their power.
No, the EVPs.
The EVPs, my bad.
Come on.
But yeah, I really enjoy
Mercedes there.
Yeah, your girlfriend's the CEO.
No, see, that's why I forgot, because I could care less about her.
Tanner's
look, we know you swerve when you drive, and we know you CEO. But can you swerve while you drive and CEO at the same time?
You'll never know.
That's the question. He drove back to his hometown from Fishers doing CEO the whole way, just so you know, Shep.
I sure wasn't swerving in the snow. I was gripping pretty hard with the wind that night.
Yeah. But I just really enjoyed getting to see that true evil version of the Bucks with the we have the power, deal with it.
Yeah.
Go for it, Tanner.
Hangman Page versus Swerve Strickland.
That was a good one.
I mean, I know it bled over in 2023, but I thought we all three were going to agree on this one. I mean,
that's my honorable mention.
I mean, these two still hate each other. I mean, they're still mm-hmm. obsessed with not letting each other get the title. I mean, Hangman burnt Swerve's childhood home to the ground. Hangman tried to kill Swerve with a needle to the face and a chair shot to the head. So good. So they're going to be
two that, when they're that happened.
No, I didn't, but I was just like, my God. Those two are always going to be intertwined their whole careers in AEW, no matter what.
that was my first. I'll go with my honorable mention. Actually, I had two honorable mentions that are pretty much tied. The first one being Adam Cole and MJF. I know it got stopped short of injury with MJF. But I think that was some of the stuff they did together when they were even a tag team together was great. The other one, I really like this, and it didn't have a lot of time to marinate because of injury as well. But Bryan Danielson and the BCC, or the Death Riders, or whatever you want to call them. I thought that was really good and was great. And kind of wanted that to extend to some pay-per-view in January I keep talking about. I kind of wanted that to be his end, but
don't know what pay-per-view you're referring to.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks,
I don't know what dome he's referring to either.
No.
But yeah, that was my my feud of the year.
Majin says males, Swervers, Hangman, women, Mariah May versus Tony Storm. I think we could all agree that'd be the women's feud of the year. I had one more honorable mention. Daniel Garcia versus MJF.
That was pretty good.
That was a pretty underrated feud. Yeah, for sure. So Majin's saying he saw someone say that Swerve Hangman could be AEW's version of Cena Orton.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, and those two. Hey, look! Here's the benefit of AEW right now. Look how young those sons of bucks are, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They get, I mean, so young. Where, you know, in WWE, by the time you get to the main roster and have a feud, you know, you're well in your late 30s,
right?
The way their
sometimes,
system works.
Yeah,
yeah. The way their system works, and you know, Swerve's in his early 30s and Hangman's in his, what, mid to late 20s. So, yeah.
Majin, Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness. I'll throw McGuinness there, even though he didn't say it. Could have been better had Danielson not been seriously injured. And Stephen Chambers, Briscoe versus Jericho after Jericho mentioning to Mark that Jay was better wrestler than him. Yeah. A big win for Mark last night, getting the win over TNT champ Daniel Garcia.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Like that. C2 is always fun.
Which brings us to our final category.
Yep. Unless you guys have any others you want to throw in there, our final category of the night is Wrestler of the Year for the males.
I'll go first. The TNT champion, Danny Garcia.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the reasoning on this one? I want to hear this.
Just kind of similar to A&J. He was a nobody heading into C2 last year. I said he had a bright future ahead of him last year. And I think we really saw him blossom this year and deliver probably one of the best promos he's ever done when he announced that he was staying with AEW. And then we've seen some very good wrestling out of him, and we've gotten rid of the thrusting.
Yeah, he's more locked in and serious now.
Hangman's that old.
Sorry. Yeah.
Swerve's 34 and Hangman's 33, according to Stephen
James. I thought Hangman was in his 20s, still my bad.
But I think this is the Daniel Garcia that we all saw the first end up with Danielson that we said that kid's got a bright future in AEW.
Shep, want to go next?
I like to pick, Paul. It's a, you know, it threw me off.
Good reasoning again, though.
But yeah, you got good reasoning there, and at least the guy is not dancing like he used to be, because I hated that really bad. I have three guys wrote down for male wrestler of the year.
I got one and two honorable mentions, so we're probably pretty close there.
I got three wrote down, and I'm going to go with the middle one. I wrote one, two, three. I'm going with the middle guy. My wrestler of the year is Swerve Strickland.
He's on my honorable mention.
Yep.
I don't think you could argue what kind of year that gentleman had and what he has done in the ring and his performance.
Yeah. No, he's awesome champ, and I could see him having it right back over his shoulder again next year.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Now, do you want me to tell you my honorable mention before you announce yours?
Yeah.
Okay. My other honorable mention was John Moxley.
Did not have him down.
I can get behind that.
And the other honorable mention was Hangman Adam Page.
Didn't have him down, but I can't disagree with any of those. So my other honorable mention besides Swerve was Will Ospreay. He held the international title twice. You know, like we mentioned earlier, for match year, you can put Ospreay versus blank, and pretty much it's good. But I had to go with this guy just because we know what this meant for his career, Bryan Danielson. I thought he put bangers on all year long, fought through injuries, won the world title, even though he didn't want to. And, I mean, it looks like this was the last year for his full-time in-ring career. I think we'll see him back eventually for some part-time stuff, but thought the way they had him win at All In, and then even the way they wrote him off, even though it was dark, was pretty phenomenal. So another guy I will throw in my honorable mention that I didn't have written down, but I just thought of him, and a lot of people I think have forgotten about him since he's been off TV so long, Samoa Joe. Yeah. Think of what that guy did holding the title the first quarter of the year. I mean, taking off MJF, they needed somebody that could be steadily hold it as a heel, and I thought Joe did a wonderful job.
And what a match him and Hook had.
Yeah, down in Daly's place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That match was awesome.
Absolutely.
Going back to one of my picks of Mox, I feel like anytime AEW needs somebody, they can call on him. He never lets them down. If he needs to change his character, he does. And then, you know, he's always been this dark, you know, beater, you know, fighter with the BCC. And then all of a sudden with these Death Riders, he's even gotten a little darker.
Sure. Sure.
And I feel like he's just a staple, a pillar of the company. Obviously the world champion right now, you know, obviously helps him out, but he's not going anywhere. And, just feel like he always shows up when he needs to be, when they need to make an impact, and there he is.
And I'm digging this. It looks like we're getting a four-way match at World's End between Mox and Hangman and Jay White and probably Orange Cassidy, even though you got Christian lingering there in the background with contract. I'm digging that because it's, some people might call it chaotic. I find it unpredictable, and like, which angle are they going to go with? Which direction are they
going to go with? I do love this new aggressive, unhinged Orange. I remember when we started this podcast, I used to call him Pockets, make fun of him, and then all of a sudden he grew on me, and I'm like, man, this guy put on some when he was what, TNT champion, right? And that guy put on a banger of a match week after week after week after week.
International champion.
And I'm like, man, he was really growing on me. Then he kind of fell stagnant, but then all of a sudden, when Moxley made him bleed, and this aggression has come out of him, I like this new Orange Cassidy now.
Yeah. So they, I saw them bring him out the other day. He was, of course, in all black, hood up, zipped, but you couldn't tell who it was. But I saw him come out, and I saw him like they placed him around the barricade right there. So I'm like, okay, somebody's gonna attack. And then after the Jay White pack match the other day, I was sitting at the very far right of the arena to where I couldn't see one of the tunnels even, but I could see a little bit backstage. I saw Marina Shafir and Mox come out right next to me and sit right behind the curtain waiting to go out. So I knew they were coming in, and then that was pretty cool. Kind of see some behind the scenes stuff there. Majin was asking about what we thought of MJF's promo this week. It's Adam Cole, and he said it's hard for me to hate on him when he's spitting facts. I thought it was really good, and it made the most sense that the Adam Cole MJF's feuds made in the last 2 months.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I got one more quick category that I think all three of us can agree on.
Okay.
Most Daredevil-like performer of the year, Darby Allin.
Yeah, no doubt.
The award for man who's lucky to still be alive goes to Darby Allin.
Yeah, he
he's lucky to be able to walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's a miracle that that man's moving at all.
Tanner, is your dog puking again?
No, he's barking. I don't know.
Oh, it's his birthday, right?
It is his birthday. So yeah. He's letting everybody know. I don't know if I hit the table or what I did, but he's pissed off about something.
I think you did.
Did I? He was asleep, so that was
my either bad. You or Shep did. One of you two hit the table when I said
he Darby shouldn't Allen. Hear with my. He shouldn't hear with my headphones, but who knows?
So it had to have been you.
Yeah, it must have been me. That was my bad. Everybody, yeah, Darby's a crazy son of a bitch, but he's enjoyable.
Yeah. Anything else, boys?
I don't think so. It's been a fun year for AW, and I'm really looking forward to 2025, and I'm looking forward to our predictions show next week, which we'll be predicting everybody we think will be holding the title at the end of 2025, and we'll also be giving three bold predictions. Mm-hmm. Whatever we want in AEW in 2025.
Am I the only guy that right now has a prediction still standing from last year?
I believe so. I'll have to go back and check, but I believe so.
It's Athena, right?
No, it's Takeshita. You had him as international champion.
Yeah, Takeshita. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the only one. So.
Yep.
Yep.
So we have we're at a continental champion, right? Mm-hmm. International champion, TNT champion, TBS champion, world heavyweight champion,
tag and trios.
Tag and trios. Are we going to do this belt that's been showing up, this New Japan Strong? We going to predict that one? I mean, Mercedes, they basically created this title for her.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. I'll leave it up to the champ. We'll let him decide the following week.
Think about it. Think about it there, Paulie.
Yeah, we might just do that. I'll have an answer for you by the end of tomorrow. End of business tomorrow.
Majin, save your non-wrestling question for next week. We might have a little more time. We're on kind of a time constraint tonight. So,
with that being said, boys, be sure to follow the Kicking Out Podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. And if that happens to be Apple Podcasts, leave us that 5-star review, because we are 5-star KOP. Don't forget to check us out on Pro Wrestling Tees. Just search Kicking Out Podcast. And you can also check out kickingoutshop.com to get some great merchandise at a good price. And you can support a great show and look fantastic doing so. Majin, I will follow you as soon as I get off of here so that we can talk about me being Marvel Jesus. Anyway. Be sure to follow Austin Shepherd at TheShep27. Be sure to follow Tanner Lee at TannerLee92 and follow myself at PaulZartman87. And with that, for Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.